The population of the United States is growing at the slowest pace in the country's history. After stagnating over the past decade, population growth fell in 2020 and then plummeted in 2021, according to new census data. Derek Thompson has been asking why that's happening and why it matters. He's a staff writer at The Atlantic, and he joins us now by Skype. Hi, Derek.
Hello, good to be here.
Well, good to have you. Put this into context for us with some numbers. How much has population growth fallen compared to years past?
It's fallen really precipitously. U.S. population growth was already declining in the last few decades because of what is called natural decrease. That is to say, America was getting older, so its death rate was increasing. And also, I think we've all heard stories about how the birth rate in the U.S. has declined as it's declined around the world. In many advanced, rich countries, births have declined from maybe 4 per family to 3, and now in the U.S. it stands around 1.7 babies per family, per woman in the U.S. But what's really happened clearly in the last 2 years is a couple things. Number one, obviously the pandemic killed 1 million people. That has sent the death rate way, way up. Deaths exceeded births in a record high number of U.S. counties last year. But what's also happened, and this is a little bit more under the radar than something as obvious as a pandemic, is that immigration has absolutely collapsed to the U.S. In 2016, net immigration exceeded 1 million. Last year, it was lower than 250,000. That means it's collapsed by about 75% just in the last 5 or 6 years. Look, there are only three ways that a country can grow.
Yeah.
Births, deaths, and net immigration, and all of them are moving in the wrong direction for U.S. population growth.
So let's follow up with that immigration news. Why the collapse?
It's a great question. All right. So first, you have the Trump administration, which clearly had as a priority to reduce not only illegal immigration, undocumented immigration, but also was not particularly enthusiastic about lots of legal immigration. And as a result, you really saw throughout the Trump administration, legal immigration fall as well. But then what happened is you had a pandemic. You had a pandemic that shut a lot of people in their homes, shut a lot of people, therefore, inside their cities, and you had less migration between countries. That's another reason why net immigration might have declined. I'm also disappointed, frankly, in the Biden administration, which I don't think has prioritized immigration. You know, right now, we talk about sometimes a labor shortage in America. People can't find enough workers for restaurants or working in hotels or construction. Well, that's in part because immigration is near a record low as a share of the U.S. population, or at least maybe, say, let's say a 50-year low as a share of the U.S. population. We need more immigrants if we're not going to have a natural increase in the rate of native-born Americans. And the Biden administration, I just don't think, has prioritized this. So for all of those reasons, immigration has declined.
Let me go back to birth rates, because they're down in countries across the globe, including Japan and Europe. Mm-hmm. Americans say they are having fewer children than they would like to have. What are the economic implications of people choosing to have fewer kids?
It is a great, great question. I want to preface it by saying that, look, I think the family should have as many kids as they want. So if a family says, I don't want kids, I don't consider that like a moral problem. It is, however, the case that economies benefit from growing GDP, and GDP benefits from growing populations. It is hard to have a growing economy when you have a shrinking population. Now, some people might say, look, I don't want to make GDP king. I don't want to put that on the pedestal. What should be on the pedestal is human welfare. Well, of course it should be. But at the same time, I'm worried about what happens in a world where we have a literal zero-sum economy, where when any one group benefits, it's because another group lost, because every year we don't grow. I think a growing economy, a growing population is good because it unlocks that zero-sum game. It leads to more economic growth. It leads, I think, to more cultural growth. And it leads to a world where you have less zero-sum mentality. I think that's healthy for a polyglot, multicultural community like the United States.
And so what is the U.S. government doing to address this?
Just about nothing, as it appears to me. I don't think the U.S. government is prioritizing immigration growth basically at all. That's not to say that there aren't many, many people in the U.S. government who don't want immigration to increase. I think there's tons of people who want immigration to increase. But right now, I don't think we're doing nearly enough to make it easier for foreign-born people to become Americans. And we're even complicating the process by which people who go to school here can become Americans. I think that's particularly silly. There are geniuses around the world who want to come here, work here, start families here, start companies here. We should say yes to all of that.
On the flip side of this argument, some people might say that slower population growth is actually good. You know, fewer demands on natural resources, less energy consumption, less demand for food. Is there an upside to these numbers? With about 30 seconds.
I know this is a controversial opinion, so I apologize for people who disagree with me because there's only 30 seconds. I think the answer to the question is no. More people is good, and while of course climate change is a huge problem, the only way that you fix climate change is by using technology to decarbonize the grid. We're not going to fix climate change by having the world population decline from 7 billion to 3 billion. That's a catastrophe. We need technology, we need solutions, we need policies, but more people is also good.
We'll have you back to talk more about that. Derek Thompson, staff writer for The Atlantic. Derek, thanks.
My pleasure.